Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show.
Week's post coming.
You've got an alternate career coming.
Well, incidentally, and I wanted to do it on the broadcast today, but I think talking to you guys is way more fun. I was up till four. When I last looked at the clock, it was 10 past 6 a.m. So I was up to, that's what time I got to bed last night. this morning. Yeah. So I had like maybe 3 hours sleep and then got up, had coffee, and here I am with you. And I was up with my friend Mikhail doing a new song. And it just kind of really took us. And as you talk about kind of losing time and what have you, and how, what's his name? Einstein said allegedly time is relative or whatever. Last time we looked at the clock, it was like midnight-ish, right? And then we're just sitting there after doing a bit of singing or whatever, looked at the clock, and it was 4:05. And we both went, what? Because it's a Tuesday morning, you know.
Yeah,
I'm not 18 anymore. What's going on here?
Once you get in the zone, time just disappears in the zone. It's an amazing place.
And you it's usually when you've got two people who are creative, or maybe even a few people. It's when you have creative energies. It's almost like you don't need those physical needs anymore. It's like you almost don't need water or food or caffeine anymore. It's like it all melts away, and you get charged by this stream of energy that's coming down. You don't know where it's coming from. You can't control it, but still, it just comes out.
Yeah, it creates a torus with attained energy, and once a torus starts, it creates attained energy, and your energy flows all joined together, and you get in the zone, and all of a sudden you got something great. Yeah.
And I presume you two have had that that kind of zone meeting of minds experiences before, where you've been up till like 4 a.m. chatting away, huh?
Well, not that late, but, you know, chatting for too long, yeah. You know, you ring up, say hello for 5 minutes and 2 hours have gone by. Yeah, amazing. And some of the things that come out are, way too controversial for even most shows.
That actually brings me to my final question of the evening. It's about self-censorship. You know how when you're on radio shows or TV or anything like that, you're aware that there's an audience listening, and you're aware that you're being interviewed by a host or something like that, and they've all got their own little sensibilities, and you kind of tend to self-censor yourself a little bit just to make sure that the audience comprehends you and doesn't think crazy, and to make sure that the host doesn't judge you too much, and maybe will continue to invite you back for more interviews if you're lucky. On this show, on the other hand, I don't follow that, and I don't buy it either. So if there is anything you've ever restricted yourself from saying for the fear that the audience might not comprehend you, I can assure you, the audience that listens to this show, real smart cookies. And I can also assure you that this is the host who won't judge you.
Well, through my contacts and through my own teachings and mostly self-taught. I really like Jordan Maxwell. I like his work. But I believe we're an engineered race. This planet's engineered. It's been sanctioned by the universal vibration. It's been saved more than once by the universal vibration. Just not long ago, an Earth-sized object went past the sun and straight through the middle of the solar system. It should have turned the solar system into like billiard balls popping around the billiard table, but nothing happened. So that tells me that was either divine intervention, or that was what they call a biosphere. one of the ships here to see the great event, because if it's got its own inertial dampening and its own anti-grav, it doesn't matter how big it is, it could be the size of Jupiter. All right, like there's a race called the Corellians who have ships as big as Jupiter, you know, with 30 million people on, 30 million off-world people on them. And they're human, just higher evolved than us. And that's the only feasible two answers. It either has to be a controlled ship or divine intervention. And Nassim Haramein's got it on his YouTube. There is no doubt about it that it should have scrambled us like eggs. Yeah. So, but there are a lot. History will be rewritten very shortly. The human race is at least 25 million years old. The Sphinx is 5 million 270, I think, if I get that correctly. It's over 5 million 200 years old.
And it's also one block.
It's one block, yeah. And they know it. And we are a speck. Like what happens is human civilizations rise and fall, right? But we're only going back 2,500 years. We've been here 25 million years. We were here with the dinosaurs. We were here around about their time. And we have been far greater than we are now, but we've fallen. We are the fallen ones, all right? And we've given ourselves we asked the center of the universe for help when we fell, all right? And they've given us 13,000 years to evolve 2.5 million years. So they've sent down special people called the Nakals, right, to help us. This is part of Drumbeel and Mekizeldek, all right, to help us get there, and it looks like we've done it. Now it's just a waiting game for the revelation, the unveiling. This is going back to Jordan Maxwell, going back to the unveiling. The unveiling doesn't have to be a horrible thing. It's a knowing. That's all it is. It's just the lifting of the veil. And it's going to be like walking through the kitchen to the lantern for most people. And all of a sudden they'll see beautiful, vibrant colours. They'll find that they can talk to the bird that lands on their shoulder. They'll feel like a coffee and it turns up in front of them. These are just some of the things, but it won't happen all at once. Like the biggest happening will be you'll see a change in things and you'll know it's different, and then your learning begins. It's like a child learning to read. That's we're going to have to go through that again.
Or like a truth of learning 9/11 was an inside job.
That's right. Yes, 9/11 was an inside job. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah, I was just thinking about the whole Sphinx reference and how it's one block. You know, if the ancients didn't have technology, okay, dig this. Even in the modern day, everybody just cruise down to Egypt, okay? Lash some ropes around the Sphinx and see how far you can drag it. You know? You ain't going to move it. It's impossible.
It's impossible. No,
it's impossible. With the current logic of they were just lowly, isn't it? And they just had plenty of slaves, you know.
Yeah,
that's all you need in order to accomplish the impossible is just more slaves. I mean, after all, the New World Order seems to have accomplished the impossible, and they've got copious quantities of slaves, don't they? All right, now. We also wanted to get Terry's take as well before we go. We only have a few minutes. If there's anything you'd like to say that, again, you wouldn't ordinarily say.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the take about being in the place where you should be, you know, there's been a number of times in my life where I remember back in 89, I had a couple of customers down in San Francisco, and you'd look at the bridge that had fallen down on each other, and at different times I've been up Ruapehu skiing when it blew up, and you think, well, this is a good day to die, you know. I mean, the point is, wherever you are, you're meant to be, and it's about realizing that your intent and how you feel about your fellow man and your relationship to them is the most important, and it doesn't really matter what happens around you. If you have the right intent and the right focus, then that's what life and evolvement's all about. So in terms of time, I had a, you know, I remember reading a book called Hypnosis and the Higher Self when I was first involved in hypnotherapy. And so my experiences started with my daughter watching a hypnosis or hypnotist on TV and at eight and saying, "Hey, Dad, will you hypnotize me?" as I was reading her story to go to bed. And before I knew it, she was going back to a lifetime when she was 6 years old and had a brother, no brothers in this life, talking about the experience and all that sort of thing. And it was all about a very limited lifespan that she had. She actually died when she was in her eighth year, but she didn't have any education and lived very poorly. In this life, she's a teacher. So you can see how each experience leads you to the next level of awareness. So there should be no fear about this whole process. What's unique that's happening now is that it's not just that we're carrying on our own reincarnational progression and learning. Suddenly, mankind itself is reaching a crisis point where, through necessity, we need to evolve. We've polluted the planet and we've populated the planet to the point where, at a 3D level, it's no longer sustainable. You know, the Chinese, if they want to have the same standard of living as Americans do, then we're going to need three planets to supply all the resources. So we do need to change. And you know, and of course the hierarchical controllers think, well, the only way to do that is to reduce the population. So but that's not how it's going to happen, is it? So
I guess we'll see. Because as far as I know, you can change the future by doing something right now, but you'll never see the future because you can only experience right now. You listen to the Vinny Eastwood Show. John, Terry, thank you, guys, and we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen.